In one of his first acts as Senate Majority Leader, Democrat Chuck Schumer said today that the House will send a single article of impeachment to the Senate on Monday. Doing so will trigger the start of former President Trump's second impeachment trial. This time, he's charged with inciting the rioters that stormed the U.S. Capitol building.
And to talk all about this, we have for our Friday's Politics Roundtable, Scott Wong, who is senior staff writer at The Hill, and Beth Fooey, who is a senior politics editor at NBC News and MSNBC. Welcome to you both.
Good to be with you.
Thanks for having us.
Beth, I'll start with you. Biden's inaugural message was about unity. That, of course, was on Wednesday. Today, there is this news about the impeachment trial. How is bipartisanship holding up in Washington right now?
Well, as you've mentioned, the word unity seems to be sort of a trigger right now for Republicans who are complaining already about President Biden and some of his appointments being very liberal in terms of his cabinet nominees. The fact that he put forth an immigration plan that many Republicans say is going to go nowhere on the Hill. And he also announced some LGBTQ protections in the last couple of days. So obviously he is pursuing some issues that are important to folks on the left side of his base. But let's face it, unity doesn't mean that everything has to be a compromise. The vision that he seems to be setting forth is that we can agree to disagree, we can hammer out our issues and maybe come to some consensus, but that doesn't mean that everything needs to be a straight down the middle, parsing everything into halves and one half or the other. So that's going to be something Republicans are going to have to wrestle with. And obviously, you know, Biden is a Democrat. He was elected as a moderate to progressive Democrat, and he's not going to step back from that just to sort of look like a compromiser.
Okay, let's get into the timing of this impeachment trial hearing. On the Senate floor this morning, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell pointed out that he asked for the trial to start later on February 11th. Let's listen.
That timeline would have provided the Senate some more floor time before we step up fully into the unknown of a trial, which, by the way, would have been a substantial benefit to the incoming administration and allowed them to get more of their cabinet confirmed.
Okay, the timing has been scrambled, though. Just this morning, the Senate confirmed President Biden's second cabinet pick, Lloyd Austin, who will become the first Black American defense secretary. But that aside, what more, Scott, can you tell us about what an impeachment trial will look like and how long it may last?
Well, we actually don't know. What we can say today is that Chuck Schumer, the new majority leader, said he talked to Nancy Pelosi, who informed him that they will be sending over this single article of impeachment charging Trump with inciting an insurrection against the Capitol to the Senate on Monday. And as you mentioned, that immediately starts the clock on an impeachment trial. What it means is that the Senate needs to take it up and dispense with the trial before it tackles any other major business. Now, you know, one of the big hangups is whether or not there can be some kind of agreement between Schumer and McConnell on a deal to allow for what this new buzzword in Washington is called bifurcation, where you would tackle part of the Senate trial during the early part of the day and then maybe turn to confirmations and other legislative business during the afternoon. But so far, that doesn't seem to be that seems to be a non-starter with McConnell. He's holding firm. There are a bunch of elements to any sort of bipartisan deal right now. McConnell wants to preserve the filibuster, that 60-vote threshold on any sort of legislation. Democrats are hoping, including many, many progressives, are hoping to eliminate that 60-vote threshold for legislation. And so there are a bunch of different elements tied up in any sort of future bipartisan deal. And that seems to be what's dictating the timeline and why we're sort of at an impasse right now between McConnell and Chuck Schumer.
Beth, the other question is, once that Senate trial gets started, how are Republicans going to respond? Just last week, the House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy said that former President Trump does bear some responsibility for the riots. But then yesterday he said this.
I don't believe he provoked if you listen to what he said at the rally.
Okay, so what do you make of that? Are Republicans kind of cooling off on holding Trump responsible for those riots at the Capitol?
Well, yes, McCarthy may have said that, but the person who matters in this case is Mitch McConnell, the Senate Republican leader, and he laid the blame very squarely at President Trump's feet in a floor speech just the other day. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that enough Republicans will come along to vote with Democrats to convict former President Trump. McConnell has said that he would listen to the arguments presented at the trial and then make his decision. But we already have heard from several Republicans who say, look, he's a former president. Why are we going through this motion for somebody who's not even in office anymore, not even in power? Let's move on. It will certainly trigger a lot of those, you know, very tense feelings and emotions that seem to hover over the Trump presidency for all 4 years of sort of this very sort of divisive, angry pose that we had in our politics that now President Biden is saying he wants to eliminate. So it will trigger another very sort of partisan moment up there on the Hill. And yet, remember that all those senators who are going to be making a decision about President Trump's fate were in the Senate chamber when the rioters mm-hmm. came through, and their safety and perhaps their lives were threatened. So this is a case where the jury is actually witness to the crime, and that may make some Republicans think long and hard about whether to acquit him.
Well, to that point, Scott, Senate Democrats have filed an ethics complaint against Senators Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, asking that they're investigated for their role in what happened at the Capitol that day. Is that going anywhere? And where do we stand with other Republicans facing political consequences for objecting to the Electoral College vote certification after the riot?
Yeah, I think all of those incidents really underscore the civil war that is happening within the Republican Party after that Trump speech at the White House and the subsequent insurrection at the Capitol just moments later. I was in the Capitol at that time and throughout that entire day. It was extremely terrifying few hours for everybody, the lawmakers and reporters and staff involved there. And so we are seeing the fallout right now, and you're seeing, you know, some Republicans that are standing by. More than 140 Republicans in those moments after the attack stood by the president and contested the results of the elections in Arizona and Pennsylvania. And you're seeing fallout from the people who led that effort to undermine the will of the voters. And you're also seeing fallout for people like Liz Cheney, who have stood up and voted to impeach the president. She is, of course, the number three Republican leader in the House. There were 10 of them in the House of Representatives, Republicans, who voted to impeach. And that has provided some more cover for any Republicans in the Senate who may want to vote to convict. Right now, we think there's only going to be a handful of those people, perhaps five or six Republicans, who are in that convict column, which simply will not be enough. They need at least 17. But it does show the divide that's happened in the Republican Party in the wake of these events. And, you know, it's going to underscore this divide as we go on in this post-Trump world about what's going to happen to the Republican Party and or this idea that Trump may perhaps create a party of his own called the Patriot Party.
Yeah, can we talk about that, though? I mean, he left Washington this week and he vowed to be back in some form. What are you hearing about his future on the Hill? Do Republicans actually want him to keep leading the GOP?
I'm not sure that Republicans want him to continue leading the Republican Party. I think many people are following the president and continuing to follow the president because of a fear of the president. He has shown in the past that he can exact retribution on people who are not loyal to him. That happened during the course of 4 years, where we saw a number of people lose their political careers, including Jeff Flake and Mark Sanford, who decided to stand up against him. And so I think that it all traces back to a fear of the president and what he possibly could mean to the futures of their political careers.
With the minute I have with both of you, much is being said about Dr. Anthony Fauci saying yesterday that he now feels free to actually tell the hard truths about what's ahead in fighting this coronavirus. Beth, what do you make of Fauci's comparison of the two different administrations?
Well, it's pretty clear that Dr. Fauci was frustrated working under President Trump. I mean, he was always very quick to say that he and Trump had a cordial relationship, but he was running smack into the fact that President Trump was downplaying the severity of the virus, was not advocating strongly for the wearing of masks. In fact, he would mock that occasionally. That just flew in the face of public health guidance from everyone, and in particular from the guy who was supposedly heading this up for President Trump, Dr. Fauci. Yeah. So it's not surprising that he is stepping forward forcefully to talk about this virus in a way that he hasn't been able to up until this point.
Beth Fooey, thank you so much. And Scott Wong, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's here and now.